everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, South Carolina, and you can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. And please remember, you can watch the show on YouTube, you can listen to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc., etc. The only way that you can ensure that you don't miss future content is by hitting the subscribe button. On YouTube, they've got a little bell that you can hit. On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, they've got different ways, either a plus sign or a little follow button or whatever. But also, if you see an option to leave a rating, or on YouTube, thumbs up, listen, that one thumbs up goes a long way. Please just do it. Take 1 second if you're watching this. Just hit that little button. Or if you don't like the content, you can hit thumbs down. I'd rather you not do that. But please interact with these. That's all I ask of you guys, that and to use me as your realtor. And those are the things, you know, I'm producing this content for free. And some of this content is more valuable than others. But for those of you that are listening, I think you find it valuable. So please support the show in that one way that I ask you to. All right, we are in 2026. That's a weird thing to say, right? Last year was a weird one, right? And I've done enough reflecting over the past year, both personally but also on the show, that I'm not going to get back into that. But it still came and went very fast, at least to me, right? And so here we are. This is my first episode that I'm recording in 2026. Probably most of you have listened to the prior episode already after the new year had already began. But formally, Happy New Year. I hope you guys did have a great holiday season. It was a good one for me. I got really rested as much as I could. The fourth quarter, in case you couldn't tell from my last few episodes, it took a lot out of me. And that wasn't any one person's fault. It certainly wasn't my client's fault. It's just the way some things ended up just being excessively difficult, and that just kept happening over and over again, where simple things became difficult over and over and over again, and eventually that just wears on you. And I was really looking forward to the holiday season to hopefully have some time to just kind of unplug, and that's exactly what I did. I unplugged for as many days as my profession allowed me to, and it was really good. It did exactly what it's supposed to do, right? For me, I'm a go-getter. I'm a type A personality. I don't take a lot of like true vacations. I like what I do. Even when I go on vacation, if I go with my family, I'll get up a few hours before them, do some work, and then we have our vacation time once everyone else wakes up. That's just the way I'm wired. It's not a problem with my job. That's something that I like, that I can do that. But I really just needed a few days to like fully unplug, and I got those, and it had the end result of now I'm ready. Like, I feel fully engaged, and I'm ready to get back into structure, and that's exactly what I'm doing here today. I'm recording this on Monday, January the 5th, and hitting the ground running today. Have new client meetings, potential new client meetings, have a lot of various things I need to get done today. And every day I've got stuff planned out for this week, and I'm excited about it. I'm not the type of person that would just like a prolonged vacation. I mean, I can fill the void, in my schedule with, I have a lot of hobbies. I have a lot of things that I enjoy. But I really enjoy having the work structure, and here we go. I'm getting right back into it. And I feel refreshed to go about and do that. There were a few different directions I was going to go with this episode, but I think I'm going to keep this as a short one, and just talking about how I'm approaching 2026, because every year is a little bit different, and I approach every year different, based on what's happening in the economy, based on what's happening with mortgage rates, based on what's happening with the housing market, if it's a seller's market, if it's a buyer's market. You can't, in real estate, you simply cannot apply the same formula to every single year. Every single year is different. I've yet to have one year that felt exactly like another year. Every year has its own, almost like a personality, right? 2025 had its own personality, which I've gone through with you guys. 80% of my closings outside of Greenville County. First time I've ever had anything like that. That was a complete reversal from my normal 80% inside Greenville County. We had mortgage rates kind of fluctuating, but ultimately after going up, coming back down. We had new construction going down in price to the point that it was cheaper than existing home sales. We had all these different things that kind of formed the personality, quote unquote, of 2025. And we don't know what the personality of 2026 is going to be yet, but I'm looking ahead and preparing, and that's part of why I do that bold predictions episode that you hopefully have already listened to. If you haven't, go back and listen to that. But I do the bold predictions episode partially to prepare myself, right? To actually do the mental math of what do I think is going to happen? What do the tea leaves say if I read them? What do they say 2026 is going to be like? Because that actually does, like, that's not just an exercise to produce content for the show. That actually informs what I actually do, how I actually run my business. I decided for this episode, we're just going to go over seven things that I'm doing slightly different or a lot different in order to approach 2026. And we'll just start with number one on my list here, and not really in any particular order, but number one on my list here is I'm planning to improve my processes so that I can really scale my business. And specifically, I want to reintroduce something I did years ago, which was my own internal, like, really big task board or workflow board to make sure that I have maximum efficiency and accountability. I did this a few years ago within my CRM. It was clunky. It wasn't great. My company ended up removing that CRM as one of the company benefits and replacing it with a different CRM that didn't have the same workflow capabilities. I simply wasn't able to replicate what I did. So I moved to a different system, and that system has worked just fine for me the past few years. But I've come to realize, because I know that this is going to be a busy year for me, I can see that from a variety of different perspectives as I look at my pipeline, look at some other things. I know it's going to be a busy year for me, and I can see that there's going to be chinks in the armor of my current system that I have in place. And so I'm already in the process of reworking all of that to create, essentially what I'm going to do is I'm going to have each client is going to have their own task flow where every single task, every single thing that can happen in a real estate transaction, I'm going to have laid out with deadlines and everything in order to consolidate, right? Right, you know, you're probably wondering, well, how are you doing that currently? Currently I have a different system that I'm not gonna get into. And like I said, it works just fine. I'm able to keep up with everything without any issues. But that's worked for the past few years with business not being, you know, as hot as it could be. And without me doing a lot of travel this year, I have some travel. I think I've mentioned to you guys the South Carolina Association of Realtors. I'm one of the 15 realtors on the state leadership team. We're going to be traveling some. And just when you start adding all these different things together, and it's like, okay, I need to, even if my system has worked for the past several years without any issues, I mean, this is a system I've basically been using for the past like 5 or 6 years, even if that has worked just fine through multiple different markets, buyer's markets, seller's markets, etc., I need to get more organized, which if you know me well, you're probably like, aren't you already pretty organized? Yeah, and the answer is yes, I'm pretty organized. But I feel like my organization can be taken to the next level. And I feel like if I do that, that's going to be like tremendously powerful for both me and my clients. And so I'm really excited for that. I've already started working on these workflows, and I think it's going to be really fantastic once I get all of that completed, once I get all of that figured out, it's going to be great. Number two on this list, I plan to network more with builders, specifically the either large or medium, and maybe even some small builders that are building production-built style homes, and there are some smaller builders doing that. But the reality is, and I've told you guys this multiple times on the show, a lot of my clients start a search for a new home, or start a search for a home, thinking, I'm going to find something that's out there in the market that's already been built, that someone's selling, and that's going to be the home that I buy. And they start looking, and they realize it's cheaper to buy new construction. And yeah, there are sacrifices that you have to make. The construction quality might not be as high, although in some instances it might, at least in terms of like the trim work and things like that, might actually be a little bit higher. You've got all these builder incentives that are baked in. You've got all these different things. Now you have to sacrifice lot size. You have to sacrifice, as I've already said, in some instances, the build quality. Dealing with builders is not the easiest thing in the world. So there are some quirks to doing that. But long story short, I plan to do a lot more networking with builders this year, because my clients are frequently ending up with new construction because it just makes sense given the state of the market right now. And so one thing I learned many, many years ago is the little phrase, your network is your net worth. And a more cynical way of saying that is it's not what you know, but who you know. And there are some other different ways of saying it. But I like your network is your net worth. And the reason why I like that is because I've learned that over the years, that actually so much of where I've gone in work has simply been as a result of me having a robust network, as a result. And, you know, a lot in real estate, they're always telling realtors, you've got to network with potential clients. And that's, you're always hearing that, you know, spend all this time contacting, you know, texting people every day, calling people every day, emailing people every day, trying to get them to join you at a coffee shop. And obviously there is value to that, right? But there's a lot of value in networking with other people in this industry. And that's what I plan to do specifically with the home builders, so that I'm more knowledgeable about these communities and about these builders for my clients. I'm already pretty knowledgeable about them, but you can always increase your knowledge, right? And so that's one of the things I plan to do as I approach 2026. Number three, if you guys know me well, you know that I usually do a few house flips per year, some years more than others. Some years I've made it a big focus. A few years ago, I told you guys I'm going to really focus heavily on house flipping, and that worked really well. This year, I'm going to de-emphasize that. I am only going to be flipping houses if the numbers are really neat and tidy. I'm kind of tired. The market has not been good for house flips the past couple of years. I've had some that have worked out really well, and some that quite frankly haven't. But regardless, it's a time drain, it's an energy drain, and I've got one that I'm working on right now. It's out in Piedmont, near, not too far from Powdersville. So if you have someone interested in that, it's going to be a nice, fully remodeled, no HOA, cul-de-sac, large backyard, despite being on a cul-de-sac. And it's a really nice 3-bed, 2-bath house. If you know anyone interested in that sort of thing, let me know. But at the moment, once I'm done with that, I don't care if I don't do another flip this year, quite frankly. Now, I'm not going to pass up on an opportunity that's too good to pass up on. That is the important detail. But in the past, I've really spent a lot of time trying to find flips at work, and that's because it's been quite frankly a big part of my income. But I'm taking not a full break from it, but I'm just backing away from that because it's just been, like I said, very tiring. The market has not been predictable. I think that's the hardest part, right? Flipping houses, you need a degree of predictability in order for house flips to make sense. You need to be able to look at comps for the house that you're purchasing, as is comps, et cetera, after repaired value comps, and be able to get within a certain range. Okay, here's what this house is going to be worth. The reality is that the data right now just oftentimes doesn't exist. I've seen multiple instances where people flip a house and they've got all of their data lined up. Like, here is what this house should be worth. And it just doesn't end up playing out the way the data said that it should play out. And that's because the market, we're in a rapidly evolving market, and one that is it's just volatile at the end of the day. And so what the market looked like, so let's say you get a home under contract to purchase, right? And you're basing all your numbers off of comps from the past 6 months. You purchase the home within a month, right? And now you start the rehab. Rehab, let's say, takes 2 to 3 months. Now, you are, if some of your comps that you were looking at were 5 to 6 months ago, those comps are now 9 to 10 months old. Those comps are useless at this point, and functionally, because the market is so volatile that comps from 9 to 10 months ago kind of don't matter. And so this is where it becomes so difficult to be like, okay, well, now what? How do we move forward when the market is volatile like this, and seasonality is not acting in, it's not acting in the normal seasonal ways, et cetera, et cetera. Long story short, I'm kind of out on the house flips, and again, I'm not going to say I'm not going to do any more than this one that I'm wrapping up. But it's going to have to be something that I simply can't refuse in order for me to do it. And I don't know that we're going to see any of those this year, but time will tell. I also have clients that are looking for those types of properties. And you know what? I've gotten this question before. Stan, if you flip houses, why would you send house flips to your clients, right? Why would you let them buy something that you could buy? You know what? There's a really simple answer to that, and that's a lot less headache. I can get a less money by just getting a commission. It's probably less money. It should be less money, right? Because I want whoever flips the house to make a whole lot more money than whatever the commission amount is. But it's guaranteed money. I don't have to deal with the headache. I don't have to deal with, you know, with the anxiety and all of that. And I can just keep moving, keep that forward momentum going. Okay, got that closing, boom, move to the next closing. Got that one, boom, move to the next one. And so that's a big part of how I'm prioritizing this year. Number four, I plan to focus heavily on actively adding buyer clients and not simply letting them come to me via word of mouth. The way I have done my business for many years has been heavily informed or heavily built by word of mouth referrals. And that's certainly not been the only way that I've built my business. I built my business through open houses. I built my business through direct mail marketing. I've even bought leads before. But for the most part, I've approached my business more of a standpoint of, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to do a good job for my clients. And I'm going to let those clients refer to me other clients, and I'm going to keep spreading that good work to as many people as possible who can then refer me to other people. And then over time, it just becomes an engine in and of itself. And it has become an engine in and of itself, but I need to do more. It's too passive. I'm not happy with what the end result has been for me. I've now been a realtor for almost 10 years. My 10-year anniversary is coming up here in a couple of months. And I'm just reflecting back and looking at all the different strategies I've taken. Just, you know what? I need to actually really double down on specifically finding buyer clients. Specifically because this market, buyer clients are, quite frankly, more valuable than seller clients. It's great if you can have both. If a buyer client is also a seller client, great. Home sale contingency is a little tough in this market, as they are in just about any market. But long story short, I'm going to be setting aside a lot more than I've done in the past, a lot more actual dedicated lead generation time in order to try to find buyer clients. And listen, if you guys know of any buyers that are looking for a realtor in this area, please put me in touch with them. No pressure to anyone, but I want to have those sorts of conversations. And if they don't like the conversation they have with me, no harm, no foul. But this is something, you know, this is something that I've decided, okay, I need to, really the theme of 2026 for me is being more intentional, right? If I can find like an actual theme, I didn't really sit down and do all sorts of brainstorming and journaling and whatnot, meditating to try to come up with that. It just kind of happened. I just kind of realized I've had a lot of things that like I've built my business kind of in a, not, I don't want to say passive way, right? Because I've been recording this podcast for 6 years, and I've been doing all sorts of things to try to build my business, but I've avoided some of the things like cold calling, like door knocking, things like that, that nobody enjoys doing. And some of those things you just have to do. I'm not going to be doing door knocking. I did that for a stretch. That is not for me. But in terms of cold calling, in terms of really tracking down potential buyer leads, definitely going to be focusing more on that this year. Number five, I'm going to be doubling down on Zillow. Now, if you're a realtor hearing this, you're probably like, what? A lot of realtors, we have a love-hate relationship with Zillow. They have a stranglehold on real estate information throughout the United States, and they deserve that, right? They earned that. They got that through a very, very intelligent and intentional strategy. And there was a stretch where I was just like, I'm going to try to avoid Zillow at all costs, because ultimately what they do is they use the information that we realtors are giving to them via the multiple listing service, right? We input our listings. Zillow then purchases those listings, not from us. They purchase those listings from the multiple listing service, and then the multiple listing service, and then Zillow then takes those listings, basically hides the listing agent, and then sells potential buyer leads to people that are purchasing them on Zillow. So if you go on there and you click schedule a showing or button to talk to an agent, you're not talking to the listing agent. You're not scheduling a showing with the listing agent. You are getting sold to another buyer agent somewhere out there that's unaffiliated with that listing, maybe has never even seen that listing before. So for me as a listing agent to get the leads from my own listing, I actually have to pay Zillow. So they're taking the information I put in there they're taking it without paying me, and then I have to pay them to get the benefit from them publishing that listing. That's that's something that's been frustrating for realtors for years, but it's legal. They're not doing anything illegal. At least not the way I just described. There may be there are some lawsuits right now about Zillow, I believe, hiding the listing agent and brokerage information too much. And there's plenty of other lawsuits against Zillow as well. I think they've got like 50 lawyers. So who knows whether they'll win or lose some of these lawsuits. That's neither here nor there. That's between them and their attorneys and the plaintiffs. But I have stopped pretending like I can just avoid Zillow. And so I'm focusing more on getting those Zillow reviews. In the past, my company's used the software Testimonial Tree. That's still going to be sent out to my clients. But I'm also sending them links to review me on Zillow. And if you are a past client, you haven't reviewed me on Zillow, please let me know. Either try to do it, or if you can't figure it out, let me know. I'll send you a link. As well, for my listings, I'm doing, at the moment, I'm piloting using Zillow Showcase for all my listings. If you're someone that's ever been on Zillow and you see, you know, listings that are showcased, it looks like those listings are like more important than the others. Like maybe they're getting more views or something. They're not. All they're getting is more money. That's it. We as realtors, we're just paying more money to Zillow to make our listing showcase. We also have to pay more money to our photographers in some instances as well, because the showcase listings, they have a 3D tour associated with them. The photographer has to use a special camera for that. There's all sorts of elements to that. But basically, I will say this. At the moment, I'm not planning to buy leads from Zillow. That I don't care for how they approach that specifically. Some people do that. I know an agent that their entire business is about buying Zillow. I shouldn't say their entire business, but a huge portion of their business is buying Zillow leads, and good for them. There is a gazillion ways to make money in this industry, and any way that someone figures out how to make it, good for them. I do not look down on them in any way, but I'm not going to be doing that. I'm going to be focused on making sure that I'm visible in Zillow as much as possible, and that that my showcase listings are visible. And I'm as kind of a side note to this, I'm also focusing on trying to make sure that I am integrated with AI in a way that if people are searching for me on AI, that they get the information that they need. And so that's a whole separate thing that I'll probably be having my virtual assistant working on. Ian, if you're listening, we're going to be talking about this soon. And so there are some elements to that too, that kind of are all feeding into all of this. Number six, I'll be focusing more on mentoring other agents, and ultimately with the goal of adding more people to my team, my real estate team. We currently have three of us. I'd really like to build that out. I love the small team. I don't care to have or be a part of a super large team, but we'd like to add some people to the team. And specifically for me, like it's not a big moneymaker adding more agents to the team, but for me to be able to actually mentor, to be able to help to raise up another generation of realtors. You know, I've been doing it for 10 years. I have a lot that I can share with other people, and that would be very energizing for me. I would love to have that opportunity to do one-on-one mentoring. I mean, we're talking about down to the levels of things that typically brokers are doing for their agents, right? Helping them work through contracts, helping them work through due diligence issues. These are the sorts of things that I'm good at. And I enjoy getting those phone calls. I mean, I've helped a lot of agents the past year that weren't even with my company, right? There was one that I was negotiating with, and this person didn't know how to write a contract. I had to teach him how to write a contract because they couldn't reach their broker. You know what? I enjoyed it. I think I would enjoy it a whole lot more if it was someone that actually worked within my team, the Morgan Group. So that's something that I really want to focus more on. And again, if you're a realtor new to the business or struggling or whatever the case may be, you need some help, please reach out. We just have no pressure conversation and just assess personalities, culture fits, all of that. And I would love to do that. And if it turns into something where you're like, you know what, maybe I need to join your team, that would be awesome. If it doesn't, that's also awesome, as long as you're successful. All right, and last but not least here, but also probably the least from the standpoint of like importance to you, but not least to me, and that is I want to create more funny content. There was an old crusty realtor that I heard years ago that said something like, is there a way that I can sell real estate without having to create stupid videos of myself dancing on Instagram? And I understood what they were saying, right? It's not always fun creating content in order to get clients. And I'll say this for this show. There are some times that this show is stressful for me. You know, I produce this show every Wednesday. That means that I have to have all the content done by Tuesday at the very latest. There have been some times where it's been like Tuesday at 4 p.m. and I don't even know what I'm going to record. And I'm just like overwhelmed, stressed out, really struggling. And sometimes the creative juices, you just enter into a funk and you just don't feel creative. And anyway, long story short, I fully understand those that are just like, I want to stay out of the content creation game. I just want to sell houses. Unfortunately, that's just not reality. That is not how you build a business in 2026. You have to create content. All of my content has been informative. It's been, stuff like this, right? Now, this is less informative than normal. This is just me sharing what I'm doing. But, you know, we go through market stats in the show. We go through nitty-gritty on what the Federal Reserve is doing, what's happening in the local political scene. I go through a lot of, I've covered a lot of very informative things for you guys. But I want to start getting into, without sacrificing any of that, I want to get into more funny content. More things that will simply make you laugh, that will simply draw eyeballs that aren't into all the nitty-gritty content that I produce, all the statistical content, things that will show my human side, right? Not just my robotic, statistical, got to go through the market stats side. And so that's a huge goal of mine this year. It was a soft goal of mine last year. Did not work out for a variety of reasons. It is on my goal. It's on my goal list 100% as a firm goal for 2026. So I'm really hopeful for that, and I hope that you guys will be around for that. So I'll certainly let you guys know if I do that. I've hinted at it in the past. Again, it just didn't work out the past year. But this year, I'm going to do it at some point. Okay? So stay tuned for that. So thank you guys so much for listening. Appreciate all my listeners. It's going to be a great 2026. I hope you guys are along for the ride the entire time. To make sure that you do, please like, rate, review, subscribe to the show. If you need a realtor in Greenville, my contact information is in the show notes. And we will talk again next time.